Praise the Lord. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles. And we're going to try to preach to you for just a little bit this morning. Amen. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to read a verse there in Matthew chapter 19, and then we'll also go backwards to Matthew chapter 7 and read a verse to you there from Matthew chapter 7. Amen. Matthew chapter 19. Boy, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Glad you came. Glad you're in church. Amen. And as I said earlier, I want you to leave here saying, boy, it was good to be in church. I needed to be there. I needed what I received. I needed what I got from the Lord. I needed to hear what I heard, or feel what I felt, or receive what I received. Amen. I trust that that's what happens in your life today. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, verse 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And how many of you are already nervous? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and let's read verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that find it, many there be that which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Notice that verse 14, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about what I'm going to call a choke point. Choke point. Military strategists use a choke point. It's a place that is probably because of terrain or because of the shape of the landscape that allows a smaller contingency of men to win a victory over a larger army. Let me describe what a choke point might be. It might be two mountain ranges that slowly start coming together and funneling together until they come down to a narrow passageway. And because they have to pass through that narrow passageway, a few men can hold that choke point, that place. The Navy, it may be a strait that a few naval vessels can hold off, and they can block it, and they can seal it off, because a larger Navy may not be able to get through that choke point, that place that it narrows down to such a place that maybe only one ship at a time, or maybe just a few men at a time, are able to pass through that choke point. And so for a military strategist, they can look for those places in the landscape, those places up on the sea, where they can hold off a large group, a large army, a large navy, and they don't have to use a lot of their own resources to do that. They don't have to take a huge army, because they cannot enter through there. It seals it off. That's what was being described when the Lord was talking about it is easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. See, then what I wanted to focus on is not the rich man today. Everybody can breathe a sigh of relief. It's like, oh, wow, he's not going to talk about money this morning. Maybe I might, you never know where rabbit trails might lead. But, man, what I want to talk to you about today is about the gate. About the gate. Because what the Lord was referring to, Lord Jesus was referring to, was not just, not an eye of a needle like what maybe you'd think, you know, like your mama used to sew or whatever. But I'm referring to that eye of a needle that was a gate that entered into the city of Jerusalem. It was that gateway that entered into the city that historians tell us was just a very, very small passageway or entryway. It was really not, it may have been called or referred to as a gate, but really it was more of a doorway into the city that was called the needle's eye. It could be opened so that there would be just one man come through when all the other gates could be closed down at night or at a time when maybe there is danger that was surrounding them. All the other gates could be closed and sealed tight. But they could open up the needle's eye, that one little door, to let men pass through. And it was such a small way, an entryway into the city, that just a small group of soldiers could guard that gate and could keep any army or impending attack could repel them because of the smallness of that doorway. They said the door was so small that travelers, when they arrived, if they were coming with the camel, that they would have to stop and they would have to unload the camel outside of the needle's eye and take all of the burden off of that camel. And then that camel would have to get down and would have to squeeze his way through the gate in order to get through that needle's eye and then get to the other side. And then they would have to bring through all of the cargo, all of the burden, and they'd have to bring it through and load it on the other side. But before it could get through that door, it had to be unloaded. Jesus, knowing about that, probably maybe even standing close by it at that time, refers to it and says it's easier for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Maybe there is a camel there being unloaded of all of its burden. Maybe the camel was trying to be forced through that small opening and was being encouraged and pushed to get through that small opening into the city. How many of you have ever been in a cave? Any spelunkers here? Go out. I tell you what, there's been in a few caves. Now, I know when you go to a cave like, you know, Merrimack Caverns. That there's sissy spelunking, all right? That's spelunking for sissies. I'm talking about when you go to the cave and there's not a trail of lights that's, you know, leading you through the cave. I'm talking about when you go to a cave and there's not, you know, electric conduit running down there, down the side of the wall with light bulbs hanging. And I'm talking about when you really go into a cave. When we were in Bible school, there was a down the road from Neosho. There was a cave. And one Saturday, Brother Hurst and myself and Brother Parrish and some of the other guys that was at school with me decided we was going to go in that cave. So we went to Walmart, bought flashlights, real high dollar ones, you know, that Bible school students could afford. Then when they knew where this cave was, and so we went to this cave. Well, to get into the cave, guess what? You had to get down on your belly and crawl through a little bitty hole. Yeah, ooh. Reminds me of Brother Gallagher at camp that one. Woo! Yeah, woo, it's scary. Man, you know, and... There is one particular young man that was with us that day. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm glad I was behind him because I was afraid it's going to get sealed off and those guys that's already in there, they're going to have to stay there until we get somebody here to blow this thing open something and chip away the rock so we can get this guy out of the hole. But I mean, it was a tight squeeze for him to get into that cave. And I was thinking, man, you know what? That's one thing. If you're going to be a spelunker, you want to be skinny. Because throughout that cave, there was places where, man, it was tight. Squeezed through. And there's places probably today I probably wouldn't want to go in there at all. I find the bigger I get, the more claustrophobic I get. I really do. Man, it's like, whoo, man, this house is getting too close. It's not the house, it's me that's filling up the house. Anyway, I've digressed. See, I followed a rabbit trail there. But the fact is that it was a tight squeeze. There's many times that for us, we maybe you've walked through something that was really tight. Man, this is close. Talk to you about a choke point today, and I need to get back on subject, all right? But those people that was listening to the Lord Jesus talking, that they knew what he was talking about. They understood exactly what he was saying, that there comes a point that it's hard to enter in. And then Jesus talking about entering into heaven, a rich man being able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There comes a time when he was saying, you know what, that rich man, he's got to lay some things down in order to enter in. There's some things you can't take with you. There's some things that's got to be laid off in order for you to get a little bit farther. So I believe that every one of us at one time or another will come to a place that will be a choke point in our walk with God. If you are trying to draw closer to the Lord, there's going to come a time, amen, that you are going to encounter a choke point where you cannot go any farther until you lay something down. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I want you to know we'd love for you to come and join us, but you will encounter a place in your walk with God, in your journey to the Lord, to draw closer to God, that you're going to come to a place that it's going to get tight. It's going to get close, and you're going to have to be willing to lay some things down if you want to go forward with the Lord. If you're willing to stop right there and say, I'm sorry, I'm not willing to do that, I'm not willing to go any farther, you're going to be left out. Amen. We read that there is a straight gate. There is a narrow way that leads to life. There is a way, amen, that is broad and it is easy and it's easygoing. But when you try to follow after the Lord, there's going to come times in your walk with God that it is going to get close, that it's going to get tight, and you're going to realize if I'm going to go forward in God, I've got to lay some things down right here. I can't carry it with me. I can't get it through. I can't take it in. I've got to leave it right here. Amen, that choke point. First of all, can I tell you, sin's got to stay right here. Sin's got to stay outside the gate. Amen. You're going to find, amen, that if you want to live for God and you want to serve the Lord, amen, there will be a time you're going to have to lay off the sin. You're going to have to lay it all down. Amen. You're going to have to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. You're going to have to ask the Lord to say, forgive you, say you're sorry, repent of your sin, turn away from it, and leave it behind. If you're going to go forward, you're going to have to lay it down. Listen, you cannot continue, amen, to live in sin and have sin in your life and think that you can go forward in God. There will come a day when you're going to realize, I cannot go forward. Because I've got to lay some things down. I've got to lay some things down. Amen. There's some things you just have to quit. Just have to quit. You just have to quit sinning. Got to lay it down. Sin's got to stay at the gate. The Bible tells us that Jesus suffered outside the gate. And you say, well, why is that important? I think it's significant in the fact, amen, that Jesus paid for our sins outside the gate. If he had paid for our sins inside the gate, we could have never got to the cross. But he paid for our sins outside the gate. Before you enter in, you got to go by the cross. You got to go by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You have to go by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And there you got to get forgiveness of your sins. Amen. That's the only way you can enter in. That's the only way you're going to make it, if you find forgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Amen. Thank God. Amen. It wasn't inside the gate, beyond our reach, where we could never arrive or never get there. But he died. He suffered outside the gate. So before you get in, you need to stop by the cross, find forgiveness of your sin. Amen. Repent before God and make it right so you can enter in. Amen. No sin will enter in. No sin will enter in. It's a straight gate. Amen. It's a choke point. You say, well, Brother David, maybe all my big sins. Maybe all the big sins. Nah. It's not going to happen. How many of you have ever went to Walmart, and you, as you was walking in, you saw somebody and they had pulled up in their little Mini Cooper, little smart car. And they're parked up front, and they're standing there scratching their head with a 54-inch screen TV on a cart. And they're scratching their head trying to figure out, now, how am I going to get this in there? They've already taken it out of the box, right? They've already taken it out of the box. They've taken seats out of the car, right? They've got some kid sitting over on the curb crying because he's going to get left behind. Anything for a 54-inch TV, you know, and they're trying to squeeze it in there. How many of you have witnessed that over and over and over? And I walk by them, I think, what were you thinking? Did you not know what you drove in today? Did you not know what you rode into the store? And here you are trying to, you know, sometimes it's like people trying to live for God and say, I'm going to serve God. And they got all this sin in your life. What are you thinking? You cannot live for God and serve the Lord and live a life of sinning. Amen. You got to lay it all down. You got to leave it outside. You got to get forgiveness at the cross so you can enter in. Amen. Maybe if I just get rid of all the big sins, Brother David. No, that don't work. Amen. Sin keeps you from entering in. Sin keeps you from going in. You need to lay down the sin. Amen. Let me tell you something else. You need to lay down your bitterness. You need to lay down all your bitterness and your hatred. That will not enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. The ought against your brother has to be left behind. Those people that you hate, you have got to get beyond that if you're going to enter in. There will come a day in your walk with the Lord that you're going to find you're going to come to a choke point and you cannot go any farther until you say, listen, I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to give forgiveness to my friend, to my brother. Amen. I'm going to find out just what I'm going to go to them. I'm going to say I'm sorry so I can go farther in God. You cannot hate somebody and go in the gate. Can't do it. Can't do it. Amen. There was a man by the name of Chris Simpson. Chris Simpson was an evil man. A man full of hatred. He had joined at a young age a white supremacy group. And he hated people. He was an evil man and he had such hatred in his heart. It started when he was just a young man. But one day, He ran into somebody that led him to Jesus Christ. He found forgiveness of his sin. And he started going to a church and attending a church. Started praying and seeking God. But hatred was still in his heart. And he still had that hatred in his heart. But it came a day when he realized, amen, he could not serve God and hate. He could not do it. This man was so full of hatred, amen, that he put on a, he had tattooed on his knuckles, amen, the word pure hate. And it was on his knuckles. I mean, he was a man full of hate and an evil man, but God saved him. And he realized, I cannot go forward until I quit this hating. That burden that he carried of hatred in his life was not going to let him go any farther in God. Amen. Finally, he had to lay it down. He had to give up his hate. He had to go to some people and ask for forgiveness and tell them he was sorry. He had to repent and make some things right. Amen. Before he could go on with God. Amen. He even went so far to go in and undergo treatment to get his tattoo removed moved off of his knuckles. Amen. And guess what he started with? He started with the word hate. Amen. To get it removed. Amen. Can I tell you, you got to get some things out of your life if you want to go forward in God. Brother David, I want the blessings of God. I want to serve God. I want to do all this. I want to be like all these other families in the church that seem so happy. I want to be like all these other people in church that seem like they just have so much joy and so much happiness and so much peace. Listen, what happens is you're going to come to a choke point. And you're going to have to lay it down if you want to enter in. Can't carry it with you. Bitterness, hatred. You say, but they've done me wrong. They've done me wrong. You need to lay it down. You need to leave it outside the gate. You can't make it in. You can't make it in. Amen. You're like that person at Walmart. Amen. You're there trying to cram it all in, trying to get it in front, trying to wait to get it all in. It's not going to fit. It's not going to fit. Amen. I look at amazement at them as they stand there scratching their head, and I think, you got to be kidding me. You really think this is going to work somehow, right? You really think by looking at this car long enough that it's suddenly going to stretch out 6 more inches and you're going to be able to get that thing in there. Surely you think that maybe if you sit there and give it enough thought and pondering, amen, that it's going to work. This is not, I mean, it's not a transformer. It's a car, and it's not going to transform itself into a cargo truck. And it's the same way you're sitting there looking at your sin and looking at your bitterness, looking at your hatred, trying to figure out a way. How can I serve God and still keep my sin in my life? How can I serve God and still keep hatred and bitterness? Amen. And how can I serve God and still hate my brother? Listen, you can't do it. You can't do it. You got to lay it down. You got to give it up if you're going to go forward in God. Amen. The opportunity is here for you. The opportunity is here for you. You're going to have to lay it down. Amen. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to say, well, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. I'll tell you what happens. I can tell you this, you can find a church somewhere that will tell you it's all right to hate. It's all right to be bitter. It's all right if they've done you wrong. We understand. We've had people do us wrong. It's all right for you to have sin in your life. You can go on. You can cheat against your wife. Come on, church, it don't matter. You can steal. You can rob. You can slander. You can do all that, all the types of evil stuff. You can go out and just, you know, be a drunken druggie or whatever you want to do and just come to church. It's okay. You'll find a church somewhere that lets you go to church and do that. But I'll tell you what, you may enter into a church, but you won't enter into the kingdom of God. You will enter a church, but you won't enter the kingdom of God. Because if you want to go into the kingdom of God, you have to lay it down. You have to lay it down. And would you stand with me this morning? Say, Brother David, man, what you're telling me, it's tight to serve God. It's tight to serve God. Well, I tell you what, in my life, I have encountered choke point after choke point, because it seems like the closer I try to get to God, closer I try to get to God, the more I need to lay down.
Oh, praise God.
There's some things you just can't carry with you. Hallelujah. Those of you that's traveled on an airplane, now they have all these baggage fees that they charge. And so everybody wants to carry their luggage on. And it's the same principle, because I don't know what that guy was thinking with his suitcase. It was not going to fit in that little compartment up there. He could push, he could pry, he could curse, he could do everything that he wanted to do, but it wasn't going to fit. It wasn't going to fit. Why do we always try to fit things in our life? Why are we so possessed with the idea that we have got to make this happen? And in our walk with God, we get so full of us.
Yes, we do.
That we don't want to lay anything down. Don't want to leave anything behind. Can I tell you, there's nothing in this world worth holding on to keep you from entering into the gate. I look back over my life, and I can tell you honestly, there's not one thing I left outside the gate that I missed today.
No way.
There's nothing outside the gate that I left there that I missed today, and I wish I could have it back. Because I find that everything I've left behind, God is more than blessed me with things in my life that I have so much more joy. You feel like you can't live without it. You feel like you can't survive without it, that sin or that pleasure in your life, whatever it might be. But I can tell you this, if you lay it down and you pass through the gate, man, on the other side, God's going to bless you with such great things in your life. You'll have more joy and more pleasure in life than you ever would imagine.
Yes, he will.
If you leave him, if you just pass through the gate. But to get there, you're going to have to lay something down. Amen. Would you bow your head with me today? I wish the Lord would talk to your heart today. And I believe that some of you this morning, you're at a choke point in your walk with God. There's something that you're going to have to surrender, and you're going to have to lay it down. You're going to have to leave something at the altar today. And God's speaking to your heart. God's telling you, son, daughter, man, you're not going to be able to go any farther. You're not going to be able to go farther. You're not going to be able to serve me. You're not going to be able to serve me if you're not willing to lay some things down outside the gate. Some of that sin that you call fun, that sin that you call pleasing and pleasure, that sin that you think is cool, man, let me tell you what, you can't go any farther until you're willing to lay it down outside the gate and then enter into the kingdom of God. You're right there. You're at the choke point today. You're at the needle's eye. Are you going to pass through? Or are you going to turn back? Are you going to pass through into life? Or are you going to turn back to destruction? What's going to be your choice today? Are you going to lay something down so you can pass through? Now, what is it today? Is it really worth it? I don't think so. With our heads bowed right now, nobody looking around, the Lord's talking to your heart this morning. I mean, you realize, Brother David, I'm at that point. I realize if I'm going to go forward, I'm going to have to lay something down. I can't continue to go on. I've got to lay it down if I'm going to pass through this gate today. I've got to lay down this sin. I'm going to have to lay down this bitterness and hatred in my life. I'm going to have to put aside the anger that I feel in my heart. I'm going to have to leave it outside the gate so I can enter in. Is there somebody? Lift your hand. Say, Brother Dave, would you pray with me today? Pray with me. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Lord bless you. Hallelujah. God bless him, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, God, I need to leave this here. I can't go any farther. Amen. But I can tell you this, if you'll lay it down here today, amen, I believe the Lord Jesus, amen, is going to reward you and bless your life. Hallelujah. Amen. With our heads bowed right now, we're going to have the church come and pray in just a moment. Those of you that lifted your hand, if you'd like to, not going to make you, but I'd like for you to, if you'd like to come and find a place at the altar to pray, and then we're going to call for the church to come. But I want to give you an opportunity to get a place at this altar today. Amen. You lifted your hand, say, Brother David, amen, pray with me today. I want to pray with you. Why don't you just come? Come and kneel at this altar today. Come and kneel. Find a place. Just kneel at the altar. Amen. God bless you today, Lord. God bless you today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Church, let's come. If you would, come pray with these. Hallelujah. If I could have some. Amen. Praise God. Some prayer. Some altar workers. Let's come. Let's pray.
Tree, walk away free. Never.
nothing you can do.